Okay, it's page Lamed on top, either 102 or 103 at the bottom, depends which Tanya you have. It's a middle parak of Dalid. The Alter Rebbe is explaining so far that a person that sins is worse than the evil that they sin with. Okay, Shalosh Kibbutz HaTmeis. Let's say a chazir is Shalosh Kibbutz HaTmeis. He says a person who eats chazir, who doesn't have aveda, is even worse than the pig itself. And he explains why. Because evil does not go against the will of Hashem. Even the Yetzer Hara, right? The Yetzer Hara that we have that tries to convince us to sin, bottom line is, it's doing its job. Hashem gave it a job to convince us to sin. So when the Yetzer Hara convinces us to sin, he's not going against the will of Hashem. He's doing exactly what Hashem wanted him to do. When a chazer is a chazer is a chazer because that's what Hashem wants it to be. So when a pig is a pig, he's not doing anything wrong. When a lion rips apart another animal, the lion didn't do anything wrong because that's the way Hashem made it. That's the way they exist. That's the way they eat. So therefore, the person that sins, who goes against the will of Hashem, is worse than the evil itself. And again, what's the Alter Rebbe doing over here? In Perek Chof Gimel and Chof Beis, the Alter Rebbe is explaining the greatness of what you do when you do a mitzvah. The level that you attain by doing a mitzvah. In Chof Dalet, the Alter Rebbe is explaining how low you become when you do a sin. Based on that, we can understand why it's easy for a person to do good and not to sin. Because when you understand what you accomplish by doing good, and what you accomplish in the opposite by doing evil, you won't come to sin. So he says, the Imkain, about 10 lines in the top, Ha'adam Eivir al-Ritzayni Yisbarach, a person who transgresses the will of Hashem, who garua is worse, upachas har be made infinitely lower, me'asitra achra v'aklipa than evil itself, ha'nikras aveda zara v'alokim achelim, which is called idols and other gods, v'tachlis ha'pirut, and the person who sins, is the ultimate separation, mi'chudei v'achduse shakarish baruch hu, that from the oneness of Hashem, yese mimen more than the evil, because like you said before, evil doesn't deny the existence of Hashem. Evil says Hashem exists. Uki lo keifer b'achduse, and therefore a person that sins is denying the oneness of Hashem, yesem imenach ha-seshom, more than the evil itself. Uki meshikosuv v'itzchayim shayim embeiser berg dalik d'arizo writes, shara sheba'ilam azeh, ha-chumri, the evil that exists in this world, Ishmari Aklipis Agasi, the sediment, meaning the junkiest, lowest level of evil. Vutacha Sabirur, and that's the ultimate goal of separation. Lachain Komaisa Elam Azar Koshim Viroyim, and therefore, all the actions of this world is evil and difficult. Vadashayim Gavinman, the wicked people are the ones that are dominating the world. Because this world is the lowest evil. Okay, now he says like this, L'chein Amir Hazal, therefore the Gemara says on the Pasik, Kisishta Ishta, it speaks about, you know, the wife, the husband accused her of committing adultery, the Saita, that we read about 2 weeks ago. He says like this, it says in the, on that Pasik, the Gemara says, Ein Adam Saita, in Hebrew, Samach and Sin are interchangeable. So Saita is really Shaita. Okay, one of the reasons why a saita is called a saita, because she's a shaita, she's a fool. And the Gemara says, the Reish Lakish says, Ein Adam Eved Aveda, Elim Kein Nichnes Beiruach Shtus. The only reason why a person commits a sin, to be utilizing in today's language, temporary insanity. Temporary insanity is every time, except in court, it holds up. In life, God doesn't accept it as a plea. Temporary insanity, because every sin we do is temporary insanity. Why is it temporary insanity? Any aveda we do is, like you just said, worse than idol worshipping. It separates the Jew from Hashem in the ultimate level. And he says, think about it. He says like this, Afilu isha mena efes, even the woman who commits adultery, Shadaita Kala, whose mind is feeble, because she could have controlled herself. She would be able to control herself. Lule ruach shaba, without, if it wouldn't be for the foolish spirit. Hamachasa umastir, that covers and conceals. Umailam and hides. So avam is the hidden love. Shabinafsho alikis in her godly soul. Ladovka bamunas Hashem, to cling to Hashem, v'yuchudiv achdusay, in the oneness of Hashem. You come to a person, and Alter Rebbe is going to say this more, it's coming up. Come to a person, say, bow down to an idol, or else I'll kill you. A normal Jew, even if he's not a very holy Jew, is willing to give up his life, and not bow down to an idol. Yet, when it comes to a regular sin, which is not a question of giving up my life. All it is giving up my will. I want to eat it, I don't. I want to think it, I don't. I want to say it, I don't. I'm not giving up my life. All I'm doing is giving up my will, my desire. So if a person realizes every sin that a person does is idol worshiping. Like I explained before, you're cutting yourself off from Hashem. They come to a person and say, listen, you want to eat the cheeseburger, okay, you have a strong temptation to eat it. But eating the cheeseburger is going to be idol worshipping. You're going to be worse, just as bad as idol worshipping. And therefore, give up your temptation. If somebody would shoot you, say, bow down to an idol, I'll kill you, you'd be willing to get killed. So why aren't you willing to give up your desire not to worship idols? What's the answer? The Ruach Shtus, this foolish spirit, comes to the person and says, nah, it's okay, you're still connected, it's not idol worshipping, it's not so bad, you're still a from Jew, you look from, you say you're from, temporary insanity. And he says, that is the cause of every person's sin. And therefore the Alter Rebbe says on the next page, if you're willing to give up your life, wouldn't you be willing to give up your desire? Just think about it. Your life you'd be willing to give up for idol worshipping. This is the same thing equal to idol worship, and you're not willing to give up your desires.
What happens with something like Lashon Hara, which you're not purposely going to do, it just comes out, it's done over and over. No one is thinking in terms of like idol worshipping, even though it says it's such a bit of error.
Well, sometimes guys sit down and say, let's talk Lashon Hara, but usually it's not planned.
Right.
Women not. The women are into no lashon hara, but the men don't have a problem with it. The Chofetz Chaim, you know, who spoke all the books on lashon hara, he was very friendly with Rebbe Rashab. They were very, very close friends. And he one time asked the Rebbe Rashab, why is it that the Yechsidim, when it comes to a beard, they're willing to give up the life, Mesa Nefesh, and according to many opinions, you can shave with a shave. I mean, no, there are opinions. And yet, when it comes to Lashon Hara, they're not careful. And he says, Lashon Hara is 15 sins, 18 sins, 20 sins, whatever. So he says to Rabbi Rashab, I don't understand. Beards, which many opinions say you could shave, not with a razor, but you know, you could shave. They're ready to give up their life. And yet, Lashon Hara, which is biblical, according to all opinions, they're not so willing. So Rabbi Rashab said to him like this, nobody sits down to have premeditated Lashon Hara. Okay? He says, when you want to shave your beard, what do? You go to the barber shop. You sit down in the barber in the chair, and you put that shmat around you, and there's a whole premeditated act of cutting the beard. He says, that's worse than the Lashon Hara, which is not premeditated. Talk Lashon Hara, talk Lashon Hara. Understand? That's what he said. Chassidim are more careful in the beard than they are with Lashon Hara. This is premeditated, this is not premeditated. I'm not justifying Lashon Hara, don't get me wrong. Okay, whatever. But the Lashon Hara is, but the truth is, Lashon Hara is the same thing. So he says, That's why he says, if a person realizes every sin is idol worshipping, then he says, even this adulterous woman would be able to overcome her temptations if she wouldn't be for the Rosh Dus. And he says, afilu neitim esnafshe mimeno. She would be willing to give up her life rather than laver avedah zarah chas v'shalom, rather than bowing down to an idol. And even a Jew, would be willing to give up their life, not to bow down to an idol, even if they don't believe in it. Like, you know, the Chan and the seven kids over there, they wouldn't even bow. Belishum emunah belev klal, without believing in it. So it's not even real avedah zarah. So he says, if a person is willing to give up his life, not to bow down to an idol, even if he doesn't mean it, v'koshkin, how much more so? Lich peshayetzit, to conquer the yetzahadim. V'taivis aniyav, and the taiva of adultery. Shem yisurim kalim emisa shem yishmerenu. Giving up your will not to commit adultery is much less than getting killed. So he says, why? So he says, v'efeshayetzit, the difference by this woman, who is willing to commit adultery, but she's not willing to bow down to an idol, is also from the Rosh Dus Klipa. Any differentiation between idol worshipping and adultery, that this woman is willing to do adultery but not willing to bow down to an idol, is also from the Shtus, because it's no difference. It's no difference. There's no difference between that and bowing down to an idol. It's also Ruach Shtus Teklipa, because even when you bow down to an idol, even a Jew, God forbid, does bow down to an idol, it's only also the Ruach Shtus. It's a foolish spirit that covers the truth. By the way, it's interesting. The definition of foolishness is, when you do something stupid and foolish, is basically concealing the intellectual truth of how bad it is. Foolishness is really doing something that you're concealing the truth. That's why it's called a fool, because you're not doing it intellectually. It's covering your seichel. Your seichel is warped and covered at that moment that you think it's good. And by the way, the worst aveda is when a person justifies the aveda that they did. If you do something wrong, you say, you know what? I did something wrong. It's fine.
Were there cases of Satis that died?
I guess so. I mean, Gemara says it happened.
Afraid anyway, because she's going to end up dying. Like, if people are dying and caught out, then
they don't think about that at the time as a sin. When people eat food that don't agree with them, and they eat it anyway, right? A chacham sees the future. A fool sees the now. Now, don't you think they are aware that eventually is going to help them, but they don't think about it now? In Chassidus it says, if a person sins and they have a guilt trip about it, it's okay. The problem is when you sin and you don't have a guilt trip. Because then you're never going to do tshuva. It doesn't bother you that you did it. One. So he says, because even then, the Ruach Shtus, the bottom line, which covers the Nefesh Olikis even to the level of Chochma Sheba, V'leya Bechlal, because the pintalit is also always good. Because of godliness, which is in the level of chachma. But he says like this, Avo be'em islamite, truthfully, Dr. Rebbe says, afilu aveira kala, even a light, small, minor sin. Hari avra, one who transgresses it, aver al-rotzen al-yim baruchu, transgresses the will of Hashem, and he's the ultimate separation from the oneness of Hashem, more than sitra achar of a klipa, Because if you think about it, and just a very simple logic, the Alter Rebbe says, if you're going against the will of Hashem, whether it's the lightest Aveda or the heaviest Aveda, the easiest or the worst, bottom line is, you are going against the will of Hashem, and it doesn't matter what it is. Denying the existence of God is at any time you go against Him. Anytime you go against Hashem, or you do an Aveda, you're actually denying the existence of God. And it therefore doesn't really matter what the sin is. And therefore it says in the Mishnah, don't go weighing the mitzvahs and don't go weighing Aveiros. You know, worse. And now the Rebbe is going to say at the bottom of the page, you know, certain sins that might be sounding in halacha more difficult and really not true. The bottom line is, you do a sin, the Alter Rebbe explains, and the Alter Rebbe is bringing this out for a purpose. The Alter Rebbe is bringing this out to explain how it's easy and close for a person to be connected to God. Because you understand what you do when you do a mitzvah, and you understand what you do when you do an aveda, why should anybody want to sin? Very simple. The problem is temporary insanity, which happens a lot, which is not facing the reality of what he's saying here. Why do we all sin? Because we don't feel it's, we might be able to make a speech about it, and we could preach that it's Aveda Zara, but the bottom line is, in our minds, it's not. Saying a little Lashon Hara, eating something I shouldn't, doing something I shouldn't be doing, nobody's going to say it's as bad as Aveda Zara. But the truth is, this goes against the will of God, this goes against the will of Hashem, this denies the existence of Hashem, this denies the existence of Hashem. What's the difference what it is? Huh?
You can't rank it.
There's no ranking.
No ranking.
No, because the bottom line of it is, and the Rebbe is going to say it, the Rebbe is going to say at the bottom of the page, it's totally irrelevant what the sin is. I'll say it now. If somebody desecrates Shabbos, publicly, openly, you know, real, they have a din like a goy. They shecht, it's no good, you can't count it for a minion, nothing. That's a guy, today they don't exist. But somebody who really openly, publicly desecrates Shabbos has a din like a non-Jew. Somebody who commits adultery does not have a din like a non-Jew. You can count it for a minion, you can count it, you can shecht, you can do all the, he's 100% Jew. So what sounds worse? Shabbos is worse than adultery. Shabbos makes you a guy, and adultery doesn't, right? Yet, if somebody says to you, desecrate Shabbos first, I'll kill you, you desecrate Shabbos. If somebody says, commit adultery or I'll kill you, you have to get killed. Right? So like, it doesn't make sense. Shabbos is stricter, makes you a guy, adultery doesn't. Yet for adultery, you have to give up your life, and not for Shabbos. So it doesn't make sense. So Alter Rebbe said, that doesn't make sense. It's exerus shakos, this is what God wants. But the fact is, any sin, no matter what it is idol worshipping, you are going against Hashem. And by the way, it's worse than that. Going against Hashem doesn't mean I'm going against Him. Going against Him means denying that He exists. And what's even worse, denying that He exists.
If you say, if you feel guilty, then you're not denying. You're just saying, I gave into my Yetzirah and I did it, but I'm separating myself. And
the guilt is after, not during.
As you're doing it.
Nobody's guilty when they're done. Afterwards, they feel guilty. If they felt guilty, they wouldn't do it. Why should they do it if they're...
I shouldn't say this, it's Lashon Hara, but...
But say it anyway.
Well, the ones that, you know, not to pick on the hours. So between 2 and 3, I won't say, but 3, 4, and 5.
I mentioned this so many times. In my not so humble opinion, it is. This is the difference between the Musar movement and the Hasidus movement. When you come along and say, don't sin from 4 to 5. No matter what the sin is, okay? We're going to have, not happy hour, no sin hour. Okay? From 4 to 5, there's no sin. So basically what you're doing is telling people, okay, chaperine the sin before 4 o'clock, because from 4 to 5 you can't sin. But as soon as 5 o'clock comes, go back to sin. It's such a ridiculous...
Nobody does that.
They do it. But if they would do something else, and they would say, from 4 to 5, everybody should learn. If you're learning, you can't speak Lashon Hara anyway. Right? So instead of harping on the negative, don't speak Lashon Hara or any of it, it doesn't matter. From 4 to 5, which basically implies like this. The whole 4 to 5, no Lashon Hara, no. What am I thinking in my mind? Lashon Hara, no Lashon Hara. Okay? You fight dirty, you get dirty. Chassidus says, make a campaign from 4 to 5 to learn. If you're learning anyway, you can't do it, speak Lashon Hara. You're learning. At least you're accentuating the positive. You're harping on the positive rather than the negative. And that's the way that... It's like a person says, okay, today no sin. I mean, tomorrow sin, yesterday sin, tomorrow sin. Today we won't sin for an hour. It's even worse because we mentioned this. Rabbi Altareb brings it down later in Tanya. Rabbi Yechim and Zaka in his deathbed. When his Talmidim asked him for advice before he goes, he said to them, you should fear God as much as you fear a human being. This is what he told them in the Gemara. You should fear God as much as you fear a person. So the student said to him, that's it? Shouldn't we fear God more than people? And Rabbi Yechim Azaki said, halavai. And he says, if somebody is watching you, okay, if there's a cop watching you, and you know there's a cop watching you, you're not going to not stop at the stop sign, and you're not going to speed, and you're not going to go through the red light. He says, at least, of course, Hashem is much more, but at least picture Hashem that he's watching over you. If Hashem would be standing right next to us, yeah? Or we don't have to go that far. If the Rebbe would be standing next to you, would you be speaking Lashon Hara? Doubt it. Or would you be doing eating a cheeseburger? Or you wouldn't be doing that. Okay? But how much more so by Hashem, right? If Hashem is... A person needs to understand Hashem is watching. And if I am more afraid of a person, then I wouldn't do it if a person would be watching me. But I'm doing it even though Hashem is watching me. That means you're putting Hashem on a lower pedestal than a human being. Huh? It's not the more forgiving. It's a lack of awareness. And that puts, by the way, the person is, you know, there's a halach. A ganef pays double. A gazlin also steals, but he doesn't pay double. He pays only single. What's the difference between a ganef and a gazlin? A ganef who pays double is a guy that steals discreetly in the middle of the night. Nobody should catch him. Okay? He gets caught, he has to pay double. A guy that doesn't broad daylight, he comes to you and he just steals, you know, grabs away your purse or whatever, you know what? He doesn't pay double. So the Gemara says, why? It's very simple. The gazlin, the guy that doesn't broad daylight, he has a no-fear policy. He's not afraid of people, and he's not afraid of Hashem. He's just, that's his personality. He's not afraid of anybody. A ganef, who does it discreetly, is afraid of people, but not of Hashem. The Gemara said, that's worse. And therefore the Torah says, you pay double. You don't, you know, you're not afraid, you have a brazen personality, you're not afraid of anybody. Okay, that's who you are, you still pay back. You're afraid of God, you're afraid of people, and you're not afraid of Hashem? That's even worse. That's even worse. Because it shows that you're putting Hashem on a lower pedestal, a lower level than a person. If a person watches you, you won't steal. Hashem watches you, you will steal. So that's what happens when a person sins. So therefore he says, if a person just thinks about this a little bit, they'll never come to sin. Because he won't bow down to an idol. If he's not going to bow down to an idol, why should he do this? And he says, a person, this is one last point, a person who sins, now that I was going to say, is worse than the animals. Animals don't sin. And therefore, and I'll tell you a little secret. Later on in Tanya, Dal Trebbe doesn't say it here. Later on in Tanya, in the Gesser Kedesh, Dal Trebbe says something even more. Even when a person doesn't sin, the fact that they could sin and an animal can't, that means the person has potential to sin and an animal doesn't have potential to sin, makes the person worse than the animal. And we'll leave on this positive note.